Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This case, I believe, Your Honor, is a case of statutory interpretation of an important statute, 5 United States Code, Section 7511, which is the principal statute that confers civil service protections and merit board jurisdiction on federal employees. Yes, Your Honor, it does.
And we have some precedent. Boris case?
Yes, Your Honor, and as I indicated in my brief, I believe the Forrest case, Your Honor's Forrest case, the circuit, stands for the proposition that the term which excludes temporary appointment, the term is specifically under than the temporary appointment, I believe that refers specifically to the 2-year term. And I think that the exclusion of temporary appointment refers to what sometimes is called tacking under the statute.
Because that other than provision is physically closer to the continuous language than to the 2 years.
That's correct, Your Honor, and I think the appellant in this case also falls within the current continuous service language. Because I think it's undisputed here that all of her service from the time she started as an immigration attorney in 1996 to the time of her termination in 2011 was continuous under the statute.
Well, the problem I'm having is that continuous is followed by the statement that Judge Ward was referring to. And it sort of defines continuous, does it not? I mean, they say continuous service in the same or similar position under other than a temporary appointment. So isn't under other than a temporary appointment a modifier of what continuous is? Right.
I don't believe that's the case, Your Honor. I believe that service in a temporary position, as long as that service is continuous, what we have here, Your Honor, is we have a long string of permanent appointments as an immigration attorney. We then have
attorney rather than judge.
We then have a temporary appointment as an immigration judge. There's no doubt that
your argument is that you can ignore the temporary appointment and treat her and say she had permanent appointments and add those together.
Yes, as long as they're the same or similar. And I think there are no...
But leading up to what meaning do you give to the final phrase of that provision, which says, under other than temporary appointment limited last, when does that kick in terms of what import does that have?
Under the Forrest decision, Your Honor, it cannot be counted toward the tacking. In other words, you take the time in the temporary service and you eliminate it from the 2-year calculation under the statute. That's what Forrest says. In these cases, Your Honor, the 2-year component can be made up not only of one position, but it can be made up of multiple positions, so long as they are the same or similar. There is no doubt that the temporary position and the permanent position are the same or similar because they're the identical position. One was a temporary immigration judge position, the other one was permanent.
Right, that's why everybody is emphasizing what it says with in a same or similar position under other than a temporary appointment. Doesn't that go to how we're defining what the same or similar positions are that are necessary for continuous service?
Correct. I think.
Well, a continuous service, therefore, requires that the same or similar positions that other than a temporary appointment. Why does that apply explicitly to the facts of your case?
Well, because we meet all the requirements. We clearly meet the 2 years under the statute.
Well, no, I wouldn't necessarily dispute that. It's just that I think we had ended the sentence after executive agency period. I could understand your position. I just don't understand how your result contemplates that final section of the statute.
Well, I think under the Forrest case, The 2 years, the service in a temporary appointment cannot be counted toward the completion of the 2 years. And I would agree that in addition to that requirement, all of the positions have to be continuous, which basically means there cannot be a gap of employment of a single workday. The appellant in this case also meets that requirement. The temporary appointment in this case, Your Honor, was done for one reason and one reason and only.
The sole purpose of the word continuous in there is to say that the person can't be out of the federal service for a period of time.
Yes.
As opposed to meaning that the permanent appointment has to be continued.
Yes, that's what it means.
And that, I guess, I can see that other than, and so tell me again, I'm sorry, how much, what relevance it seems to me that you're reading of the statute, the final provision. So tell me where the final provision doesn't then continue it, but not in your case.
Well, Judge, the Forrest case explains it perfectly. You cannot count service in a temporary position to add up to the 2 years of service. That's what it means, and I believe that's all it means.
Well, it's 2 years of current continuous service.
That's correct, but current continuous service is defined very specifically in the CFR regs and in the board case law as service without a gap of a single workday. She meets that requirement as well. She meets the 2 year requirement minus the temporary service, and she meets the continuous requirement because she's got 13 years of service in various positions without a single gap, a workday gap of 1 day. So under those circumstances, provided the immigration attorney position and the immigration judge position are same or similar, which is another issue, not before Your Honors at this point, because we didn't have a hearing on that issue. Provided that's the case, she meets the statute and has the ability to appeal to the merit board an adverse action. The word current means no more than you start from the adverse action, in this case the termination, which was April 23rd, 2010, and you count the 2 years backwards from there.
So basically you're saying that somebody had 2 years of service under a permanent appointment at any time in the pay, that is sufficient?
No, I'm not saying that, Your Honor. I'm saying that you start counting from the adverse position back, but you subtract the temporary appointment, that's what Forrest says, cannot be included toward attacking, and as long as those positions are the same or similar and continuous, you meet the statute.
Well, the problem, if you take away, if you extract from the timeline the temporary immigration service, then you're not consistent with the continuous requirement of the statute.
I think that's incorrect, Your Honor, because you have to use the definition of continuous in the CFR regs. Current continuous service means service immediately prior to the action at issue, the adverse action, without a break in service of a single workday.
The service immediately prior to the adverse action was the permanent preceded by the temporary.
Correct.
That would give you the 2 years. That's the 2 years prior to the adverse action includes the temporary.
Exactly, but you eliminate that from the calculation of the 2 years.
Because
that's what Forrest says. You can't, the other than a temporary appointment means, according to Forrest, that it is not counted in the 2 year calculation. And I would agree that the positions, whether they're permanent or temporary, have to be continuous, counting back from the adverse action, counting back 2 years. The reason for the temporary appointment was, in this case, was so that a background investigation could be done. And as soon as the background investigation was done, that temporary appointment was converted to a permanent appointment. If we were to say, as my adversaries do here, that a temporary appointment automatically, in and of itself, takes somebody out of the statute and out of the civil service protection, you'd be basically saying that because somebody needs a security clearance, which she already had in her prior employment, that takes away protection, civil service protection, that she built up over 13 years of employment.
Suppose we were to agree with the statute in ambiguous as to whether you or the government is correct. How do we resolve that ambiguity? Who has the interpretive authority under Chevron as to the meaning of the statute?
I think you're honest.
But under Chevron, we're supposed to look for the agency's interpretation. Do we defer to the MSPB here?
Well, Your Honor, I...
Who has the Chevron authority?
Well, Your Honor, I do not think that the MSPB has the last word here on this.
Well, they're an adjudicatory body.
They are.
Rather than the agency that... Did the agency make an interpretation?
Well, I will say this, Your Honor. Other than in this case, to my knowledge, the MSPB has never taken this position, ever.
Who has the authority to promulgate regulations under this statute?
It's OPM, isn't it? I don't know. Sure.
I think it is OPM. I don't, as far as I know, I'm not sure that the MSPB, at least in my experience, and we have Mr. Morrow will be up soon. I don't think they promulgate these kinds of regulations.
Okay, suppose OPM has it. Do we have OPM's views on what the statute means here?
Well, you have CFR rates, which certainly define what a temporary appointment is. You have CFR rates that talk about what current continuous service is. You have your Honor's own interpretation of it.
Is your position consistent with the regulations?
I think it is, yes, Your Honor. As a matter of fact, in my presentation, I
would use OPM interpretation of what the regulation is.
Judge, I'm not sure. Well, let me say this. I don't think that this exact issue has ever been adjudicated or discussed by anyone. There's not a single board case that takes the position that my adversaries are advocating here. As far as I know, this is a case of first impression. There's never been a case that held that a temporary appointment in and of itself destroys the continuity requirement of the statute.
Mr. Roth, do you want to say some time?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Tomorrow, the board, you can take 12 minutes.
Good morning, Your Honor. Please the court. This is a case where the plain meaning of the statute is included. So suppose, just for a moment, hypothetically, let's assume that we were to decide this ambiguous. How should we resolve that ambiguity? You have the interpretive authority.
Well, it is true that OPM does have the authority to promulgate regulations.
Spoken on this issue.
At the time that the this provision was enacted by the Due Process Amendment in 1990, and at the time that OPM issued regulations for when it made them final, I don't have the site, it's not in my brief, but they did state that temporary service could not be counted toward completion of the required service for being employed under this provision.
So we're not clear how it works, but this seems to be a little bit different in terms of what's meant by continuous.
That's true. We don't agree with the petitioner's interpretation for us. And for us,
well, I understand, do the regulations address this issue?
The specific issue of whether permanent service is interrupted by temporary service. I don't think they're that specific. However, it's incorrect that the board has never addressed this issue. The board hasn't addressed it under the accepted service provision, but there's a parallel provision, competitive service provision, that requires
for employment, to be an employee that has 1 year of current continuous service under other than a temporary appointment, other than a temporary appointment limited to 1 year. So the language is parallel other than the change from 1 year to 2 years. And in the Williams case, Williams versus Department of Defense, discussed in our brief, the exact same situation was presented. The employee had a period that was removed from a permanent appointment, and in the past he had some additional permanent service, but with temporary, service under a temporary appointment in between, and it was all continuous. And in that case, the board held that because you're required to have two, and he didn't have 2 years after the end of the temporary, very similar to the petitioner here. Well, there was the 1 year. They had the 1 year. He didn't have the 1 year after. At any rate, the board held that because that the permanent service was interrupted by the temporary appointment, and he didn't qualify to appeal because you're required to have a year of current continuous service under a permanent appointment. And that's really the point here, that that's just a reading, a literal reading of the statute. The statute, the provision under that the service must be, the phrase under other than a temporary appointment modifies current continuous service. There's really no other way to read it. There are three things required, similar positions in an executive agency under a other than a temporary appointment. These modify the current, the 2 years of current continuous service, and there simply is no basis for saying, oh, the 2 years of same or similar service must be in a permanent position, but the current continuous service does not. There's no basis for that in the statute itself. And in the Forrest case,
What is the policy basis? I mean, we don't do policy, but I understand you always, you know, probationers don't get the most appeal on the board because they don't have enough interest in their job, period, sort of testing. Right. What's the policy rationale for excluding continuous temporary appointments?
Temporary appointments are even less rights than a probationer. They're more easily hired. They're not on a schedule to become permanent as a trial, as an employee in a probationary trial period is. And looking at the situation in this case, I think you can see a policy reason in that this was a temporary appointment provisional on the completion of a background check. And the agreement that the petitioner signed is in the appendix, page 34, explains that a temporary immigration judge will not have any access to sensitive information. So
if the background check had been done 3 months earlier, she'd be home free.
That's correct.
So,
but the policy reason I'm getting at is that presumably, because these judges don't have access to all the information, they aren't performing the full range of duties, and this guarantees that if they're not made permanent until a background check is finished and a favorable result, the agency, then they will have to serve a 2-year trial period, and the agency will have the full and intended period to review that person in the full performance of their duty.
I guess the only thing that cuts the other way, it seems to me, is that the statute limits this to the same or similar position, as I read it, as a way of requiring that somebody have performed it and you have the chance to evaluate
that.
There's no dispute, though, that her justice prior justice appointments are in the
same. Oh, no, that is.
It is.
The parties disagree
that isn't the same or similar.
No, because the board found that under the plain language of the statute there was no jurisdiction, they didn't reach the same or similar issue, but it was disputed by the parties. The petitioner contended, well, I was in the same subject area before, so they're the same or similar. The agency's position was, no, the function of a judge is really quite different from that of a general attorney, and
they contended that they weren't family similar. So even if she had been appointed, there were discussions that she could actually wait until after the background investigation was over and just take an appointment at that point, so she wouldn't have to be temporary. But the downside of that, according to the personnel that she spoke with, this is in her affidavit in the appendix, the downside was that, well, if you wait, maybe the funding will end and you won't get the job at all. So she elected to take the temporary. But getting back to my point, that's what happened.
Do you agree that under their interpretation that if she had 2 years of permanent service under a similar appointment 5 years ago, that she would be able to take that on and avoid provision?
If she had continuous service in a permanent position?
Yeah, 5 years earlier.
Well,
in other words, that she had service 5 years earlier for 2 years in a permanent similar position, but that was interrupted by, let's say, 5 years of service under temporary position.
If it's interrupted by temporary, it would not.
I understand your position. You understand their position that no matter how long ago it was, if it was 2 years of service in a permanent similar position, that would be sufficient to get them appeal.
I think that's what they're saying. Yes.
That seems that would be a very odd result. It seems.
Yes. Or perhaps they're saying that she had to be in the same or similar position immediately prior to the vacation and temporary position.
But your position, even if she had been, let's say she had been a permanent immigration judge for 15 years, and then funding runs out or whatever, so there's some variation of immigration judge, and she takes a temporary appointment. Even if there were no dispute that the prior permanent servant had been in the same or similar position, your position would still be that the interruption through the temporary appointment cuts off.
I think that would be the case unless she would have some right to reinstatement in a permanent position without a trial period because she's been in exactly that same position before. That might be an exception.
So she doesn't have any rights to reemployment in the Justice Department or in her department.
I'm not aware of that, no. But I think there might be, there are some rights to reinstatement to the same, very same position, I think, where you would not have to serve a new probation period. And I think I've made my point that I don't think the Forrest case holds what he said, because in Forrest, there was current continuous service, but the first part was temporary, he didn't have enough in the permanent from which he was removed, and the court explicitly stated that he had to have 2 years of current continuous service in a permanent position. So it's inconsistent with his view that they only wanted to have, that only had to do with the 2 years and not the permanence of the position.
I seem to recall a case that we decided maybe a year or two ago, I can't remember the name of it, involving a similar situation where they claimed that by accepting the temporary position, the employee wasn't told that he or she would lose the appeal right. Remember the name of that case?
Yes, it's called Carroll.
Carroll?
Yes. Earlier in this case, the petitioner contended that also for a right based on not being told about her rights when she came to the Justice Department job, because told that she would lose her appeal rights. But that argument was dropped by the petitioner at some point in the case, not in the brief. So we didn't brief it either. But the decision that addresses this is called Caro.
We sent it back. And we sent it back a couple of years ago, and then it came back up about three months ago.
Right, and it was decided in late 2010. It's 626, Fed 3rd, 1348. And it takes, it, what it held was that notwithstanding misinformation or failure to give the employee this information, the board doesn't have jurisdiction to hear an appeal from such a person because they are not a statutory employee. This is if someone takes a temporary or probationary position without knowing their
but you might have the right to read a statement of your earlier position.
Well, that was the claim, but that was not accepted.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Mr. Goodman.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank you, Court. The discussion this morning has focused on the jurisdictional question, and the United States, of course, has very little to add to the jurisdictional question. There are 44 that the MFPB has the statutory authority to defend the court's jurisdiction. With respect to the regulations, they are OPM regulations, and it occurs to me that if there were some doubt as to the interpretation of the statute, this court could rely on the position of the United States as articulated in our brief as the interpretation of those regulations under our amendments. A, E, U, R, I, O, U, R.
But is OPM on your brief?
OPM is not on the brief, Your Honor, Department of Justice.
That's hard. I think we've kind of made clear that we're not going to take the Department of Justice litigation position. If the agency's position, at least that the agency's not on the brief.
Okay, Your Honor. Well, we think the statute is clear, and we agree with the articulation of the meaning of that provision. There are no other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman.
Thank you.
Mr. Roth has a couple of minutes.
Just a few minutes, Your Honor. Just to clarify something that came up, it is not appellant's position here that you can just take the plot of position from 5 years ago and added to the her time that she was an immigration judge.
Why not? Under your position.
Because it has to be continuous. In other words,
sounds like agreement with the government.
Judge, I agree that it has to be continuous. I disagree as to what their definition of continuous is. Continuous under the CFR regs means no more than employment that is not interrupted by a single workday. A temporary
so why if there were 5 years of temporary appointment and 2 years of similar permanent appointment before that, why wouldn't that be sufficient?
It would be if you discounted the temporary appointments in the time and if all of them were continuous under the definition in the CFR reg. I think as long as it's continuous in under the definition. In terms of the Williams case, that was a case, first of all, it's difficult to determine what Williams says because the facts in the Williams case, it's a board decision. It's very difficult to determine the time frames, but the person in that case, the appellant in that case, went from a temporary position in Iceland to a temporary position in Quantico to a permanent position. And under the statute, it requires, since it was in the competitive service, it required 1 year. The board held that there was no jurisdiction there because in the permanent position, there was not 1 year of service. That is not inconsistent with the position that we're taking here. We agree you can't count the temporary service in the 2 years.
Do you have one final thought?
Yes, Your Honor. Your Honors at one point ruled on this statute in the Van Wersch decision. And in that case, Your Honors concluded that the purpose of 7511, the 1 year and 2 year requirements, was to give the agency a reasonable period of time to assess an employee before that person got civil service rights, before the Merit Systems
Van
Wersch.
Well, I don't know the case. It went on the distinction between and or.
Right. But during the course this court acknowledged that the 1 and 2 year requirements was basically to give the agency a time to assess the bona fides of the employee, whether they were a good employee, performance, and so on. They're trying to take the temporary appointment in this case and make it jurisdictional, and trying to say that not only does the person during the 2 year period under 7511 have to show their good performance and good conduct, but they also have to do the same thing during the temporary appointment. And in this case, that's not clear. That's not true, because it's absolutely clear that the only reason for the temporary appointment here was for the background investigation to be complete.
I think we have your argument.
Thank you.